Amid all of the things that clearly went very wrong at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, one thing that seemed to go right was the action taken by Joseph M. Darby. He's the army mechanic who slipped a computer disk containing the now infamous photos of the abuse under the door of military investigators back in January. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has publicly praised Darby, but as NPR's Daniels Werdling reports, history suggests that being a whistleblower in the military often has painful costs.
Joseph Darby has not spoken out publicly. His wife says he called her recently. He didn't say where he was, but he said, "Don't worry, I'm fine." Researchers who study whistleblowers say Joseph Darby's life is probably about to turn upside down. Fred Alford has interviewed dozens of whistleblowers over the years. He's written a book about it. He teaches ethics and government at the University of Maryland.
Most whistleblowers lose their jobs. Most lose their careers. Most lose their houses. One whistleblower who said no one would hire me because they knew I was the type of person who might commit the truth.
It's hard to find out what's happened to other military whistleblowers recently because officials at the Pentagon declined to give any interviews about this topic. But when you see what happened to a couple of whistleblowers in the military who went public back in the 1990s, it gives a glimpse of the problem. Consider an officer named George Randall Taylor. He blew the whistle on abuses at a Navy base.
I was followed, phone calls, people telling me that I needed to keep my mouth shut, threaten me, threaten my family.
And that was really just the beginning. Back in the early 1990s, Taylor was a highly decorated serviceman. He won the Navy's Sailor of the Year Award. He was chief of military police at the U.S. Navy base in Bermuda. Within only a few months, Taylor dug up evidence that sailors from the base had raped at least three women on the island. He got one of the sailors to confess. But when he took the cases to his commanding officer, the officer ordered him to drop it.
He was pretty upset with me. He wasn't too keen on having any of these issues surface on his watch.
Taylor knew that there's a federal law called the Whistleblower Protection Act. It basically says if you're in the military and you report an abuse to the military's inspector general or to Congress, then nobody is allowed to retaliate against you. So Taylor told the Navy's inspector general that his commanding officer was covering up crimes. That's when the real retaliation started.
Well, they put me in the psychiatric hospital at Portsmouth Naval Hospital for a week because that was a tactic at the time that the military used, that if anyone spoke out, you know, they tended to want to hide them in a psychiatric ward or wherever so that, you know, they could say, "Hey, look, the guy's crazy. You know, don't believe anything the guy's saying."
Taylor says he figured there was only one more way to get justice. He and a colleague took the case to The Nation. They told ABC's Primetime Live about the rapes and about financial boondoggles at the base.
Senior Chief Petty Officer George Randy Taylor and Petty Officer Second Class Tom Coggins decided to blow the whistle on what they believe is an abuse of rank and privilege.
This time, Taylor got results. Congress called hearings. They shut down the entire Navy base in Bermuda. The Navy transferred Taylor to a job in California, and it seemed that nobody could ever touch him again. But one year later, after the attention faded away, the Navy went after Taylor with a vengeance. They put him on trial. They charged him with more than 40 counts of using excessive force during a drug bust. Taylor's lawyer showed that the Navy had trumped up those charges. Taylor was eventually acquitted. And in the process, he learned that the Whistleblower Protection Act doesn't have any teeth. The law says that military officials may not retaliate against somebody who tries to expose an abuse, but then the law doesn't provide any way to punish officials who do retaliate. Taylor resigned from the Navy and got another job with the federal government. But he says he's still a wounded man.
You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about what occurred. I had so much faith and confidence in the military and our government, but now I'm really skeptical of things that I'm told. I tell you, I feel like I'm an 80-year-old man just from that whole experience.
And how old are you?
46.
Taylor's case was more dramatic than most, but the evidence suggests it's no fluke. According to Pentagon reports, military investigators found dozens of cases just last year where people were being punished because they blew the whistle on some sort of abuse. One case back in the 90s has echoes of the scandal today in Iraq. The year was 1994. President Clinton sent troops to help establish democracy in a country that was ruled by a dictator and his thugs. The president talked to the nation in a radio address.
Now we must act. Our reasons are clear. To stop the horrific atrocities that threaten thousands of men, women, and children in Haiti.
When the soldiers landed in Haiti, the dictator's henchmen were torturing dissidents. They were murdering some people. And a captain named Lawrence Rockwood wanted to stop it. Rockwood worked with Army intelligence. He says he was especially worried about dozens of political prisoners whom the dictator had locked up in a squalid prison.
By the time we got around to taking over the prison and actually running the prison, I was worried the political prisoners being held by the regime, they would be killed.
Rockwood told his commanding officer that they needed to protect the prisoners. The commander said it wasn't a priority. So Rockwood told the Army Inspector General that his commanding officer was refusing to protect Haitians' lives. Still, no action. Finally, Rockwood went to the prison on his own to try to bluff the warden into thinking that the whole U.S. Army was watching his every move. Rockwood says just before he left his base, he wrote a note to his commanding officer describing what he was about to do.
And I left this note for Colonel Bragg because I knew he was a very spiritual person. You often saw him reading his Bible. I wanted him to know that I have commitments to prevent human suffering and death when it's in my power to do so.
Army officials arrested Rockwood, and then they court-martialed him for disobeying orders. International human rights groups rushed to his defense. They said Rockwood should be applauded for disobeying those orders. They pointed to U.S. and international laws that say officers have a duty to try to prevent massacres and other atrocities if they can. Robert Veronick was part of the defense team. He says Rockwood's case raises some of the same issues that should come up at the court-martials in Iraq.
We do not want our soldiers to be robots serving illegal mandates or obeying illegal orders. I mean, this was precisely our Nuremberg tribunals after World War II. I mean, one of the sort of principal elements that came out of that was the notion that you don't get away from responsibility by saying, I was following orders.
But the military court convicted Lawrence Rockwood, and they kicked him out of the service. He lost his job and his entire pension. Lawyers who work with whistleblowers say maybe the scandal in Iraq will turn out differently, and the whistleblowers there will be okay. After all, top officials took their charges seriously. They investigated. They're already putting soldiers on trial, and the whole world is watching. But the man who wrote the book on whistleblowers, Fred Alford, says that doesn't necessarily mean that Joseph Darby and others who exposed abuses in Iraqi prisons are really safe.
While this is in the news, these men will be protected. They can be commended, get medals, but in a couple of years, the media's attention will turn somewhere else, and then they'll be very vulnerable.
Two senators sent a letter last week to Donald Rumsfeld about this very point. Republican Charles Grassley and Democrat Patrick Leahy asked the defense secretary to promise that he'll protect the whistleblowers in Iraq. So far, the senators haven't seen a reply. Daniel Zwerdling, NPR News.